Welcome to the Wine About History Podcast. I'm your host, Max Hamill. And with me, as always, is...
Patty.
And today, we're drinking Educated Guests from Napa Valley. We're drinking the 2016 Cabernet Sauvignon. It's good. I like it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the finish is really good. Let me just take another sip here to make sure.
It's good.
Breathe it in through my nose. I'm trying to look up.
It's probably
the room's kind of dark, so I can't tell if it's got legs. I think the finish is really good. I'm tasting blackberry, maybe. How about you?
I taste blackberry. I taste...
I mean, I don't eat a lot of blackberries, but I'm pretty sure I'm tasting blackberry.
$24. Worth it.
It was $24?
Yeah. I was going to get Cocobon. Cocobon's a good table wine.
Okay, so I would say this tastes like a $24 wine. I mean, it is good. I mean, I thought it was one of your usual $10 specials.
Oh, thanks for that.
Okay, he doesn't. But yeah, worth it. I think it's that was a sniff of the wine, by the way. Max, say something.
I'm just sitting here over sad and insulted.
Why are you insulted? People can't see your face, so they can't see that you're pouting and sulking about my comment.
They can feel my attitude over
the
airwaves.
No, they really can't.
They can sense my presence.
Actually, yeah, this is quite delicious. It's really good. So
we are covering the Lost Franklin Expedition. In 1845, the expedition of two ships, 129 men, went to the Arctic to look for the Northwest Passage. It was led by experienced captains, both of whom were Arctic veterans.
Okay.
After being sighted by whalers in Baffin Bay, they were never seen from again.
Aww. Baffin Bay, where is that? Is that in Canada?
It's in Canada. It's way up there in Canada. It's about as north as you can get.
Okay.
Their story has never been pieced together.
Okay.
Until today.
You figured it out.
I figured it out because I'm so smart.
Wow. You should write a paper and get published.
Yeah, but that's work.
This is not work.
We'll start with Franklin. Sir John Franklin was an Arctic explorer. He was also the governor of Van Diemen's Land, now known as Tasmania. And what he was a competent explorer who kept running into hardships and kept getting politically stabbed in the back. So he was a good man who could have overcome these adversities if he was a great man. You understand what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So he didn't have in him to overcome all this stuff, even though he probably should have. It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Bad luck.
But those were different times then, too.
Yeah, 1848 is very different. And you have Crozier, who is the captain on the Terror. I believe he was on the Captain Terror. He's the other captain. Now, Sir Franklin was the commander of the expedition. Crozier was the other captain, his second. He was a very, very excellent seaman. Probably one of the best the Admiralty had because he was poor and because he was Irish, they picked Sir John Franklin instead.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's how it goes back then.
So, and this...
Not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that's how it goes.
In 1845, on 19th of May, the Franklin Expedition sails from England. In July, they dock in Greenland. They send home five men who are sick and a bunch of letters. And their last sighting was in 1845, the 28th of July. So, 45 to 46, the expedition, they winter on Beecher Island because they don't want to get crushed by ice. Because even though these ships were very technologically advanced for the time, they're actually, the ships themselves were experienced ships. They've been through a lot.
Okay.
And they put numerous devices. For instance, they took the engines off of two railway cars.
They had engines on ships back then?
These were the first ones to do it.
Cool. I thought it was just like all sails and stuff. I didn't know.
It was mostly sails and stuff. These are some of the first ones to do it. I remember when steam-powered engines started. But they started with trains, and they put them in there, and they used coal to warm the ships so the men wouldn't freeze to death.
Oh, that's nice.
Convenient, isn't it? I don't want to die today. So, three men die of tuberculosis and are buried there.
Oh, so we know that.
Yeah, and we found their bodies, we know they are, and that's how they... So, the ships are trapped in the ice off of King William Island in 1846. I think back then they called it King William Land because they didn't know it was an island.
Oh, okay.
So, they winter there, and here's where it gets interesting. So there was a cairn nearby made by another explorer, Ross, and they wrote down a letter. I'll go into the letter because it's discovered later, but they wrote down the letter there. On June 11th, Franklin dies. We go by into that too. So they all disappear. Now, no one knows what happens for years. No one knows what's going on. So,
but people knew they went there,
right? People knew they went there. But they had supplies for 3 years. So I said, in 1848, we'll go after them. But I think in 1847...
Sounds like Auntie Lynn's basement. Supplies for 3 years. Sorry. She just...
That was random. Stores. Well, I'm just saying...
She just stores a lot of stuff.
Yeah, the audience knows who my aunt is.
They do now. Okay, so they had supplies for 3 years. That's awesome.
Well, Lady Jane, the wife of Sir Franklin, was a badass woman. She took no prisoners in the search for her husband. She went to the Admiralty, and they were all like, listen, calm down. We're John's friends. We have a lot of friends who are on their ships. We don't want them to suffer, but we will get them when the time is right. Bureaucracy. And she was just like, no, we're not doing this. We're not playing this bureaucracy game. We're going to find my husband. We're going to find all 129 men.
Good for her. Yeah, I like her. I don't know her, but I like her.
This is how badass she was. She bought an apartment near the Admiralty so she could see the comings and goings, and just so she could go over there and yell at them and come back and forth.
Okay, I love her.
She wrote to the current president, Zachary Taylor, the president at the time, our president, asking America for help. She went to Charles Dickens for help. She had the salons where she would go, please help my husband. And she'd just go on and on about her husband, who was a good guy. He does not deserve the bad rap he got.
Yeah.
So, in some ways, he was a man of his time. So, she got the numerous expeditions sent. The first one to find any evidence was Charles Ray.
Okay.
No, it was John Ray. What's wrong with me? John Ray. I'm confusing him with Hall.
It was a Ray.
Do, re, mi, fo, sa.
That's right.
And in 1854, he managed to interview local Inuits who gave him items from the expedition and told them where the men were located, where their bodies were located, and that they had starved to death.
Aww.
And we still have the letters, these guys, because numerous went positions. I think it was at least six expeditions went looking for him.
Wow, seriously.
But I think more, too. His wife wanted to find him.
Aw, I don't blame her.
And on top of it, there's still modern expeditions going on. We know where the ships are, but people still dive down there because you can dive down to one of them and look it up.
How deep is it?
Not that deep. One of them is not that deep. The other one is deep.
The only reason I ask is because Max and I both scuba dive.
Oh, I would never dive that thing.
Oh, wouldn't you? No.
No.
You need dry suit for sure. Not a wetsuit. Yeah.
Creepy stuff.
Anyway.
So Ray found about 30 bodies and some graves and five dead bodies in and out of tents. And the evidence point, and this is all by Great Fish River, which the Inuits name Utqu'hiqalik. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. But
you probably are.
I should be ashamed of myself. So a lot of these bodies we actually find are all around Great Fish River. I'm going to call it Great Fish River because I can't pronounce that over and over again. My tongue will actually tie itself in a knot. So he finds all these bodies. There's evidence that they had recently shot a feathers of geese. Were noted near the scene of the sad event. It's a quote. As well as human bones. So I think they were...
We should probably...
So they found all this evidence, and the best evidence we have is Inuit oral traditions. It took a long time for people to talk because they were wary of outsiders, and they were worried, Inuit people were worried they were going to be blamed for the event. But 100 mouths is a lot to feed. So they couldn't feed these people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the group of 100 split up in different groups, and there are some reports that they were so starved, they looked like the walking dead. They looked dead to them. So there was one group of 5 that an Inuit family took and said, all right, stay in this igloo. Here's a seal. Cut it up. Eat it. And when you're rested and ready, because now you have food, you're not going to starve to death, get out of here. They came back next year. Those people are all dead. They hadn't eaten the seal. They were so confused. And now, here's the things that were killing them. Malnutrition. The problem was the food tins were soldered with lead. So they got lead poisoning.
Well, that's bad. That could lead to a lot of confusion and problems.
But further research, they know they had lead in their system, but they don't think they had enough lead to get them confused. But they think the real problem was they had zinc deficiency, and that's what really messed with them.
Hmm.
So there's lots of Inuit stories that help us piece together what happened. For instance, a band of Inuits went onto the ship to grab tools, because they abandoned the ship, so they wanted the tools.
Sure.
And they found the body of one man in the captain's cabin, mm-hmm. sitting on a desk fully clothed. Well, that could only have been one man,
mm-hmm.
Franklin. Could only have been Sir John. They probably, when he died, probably left him in his cabin, not wanting to go in there because they loved and respected him. So he was very loved by his crew, very respected by his crew. And they kept sending people up there and interviewing these Inuit people, and they kept getting stories like this. Okay, they died over there, and they kept matching. So even the science today matches up with the Inuit stories.
Okay.
Believe it or not. So we have a rough idea of what happened.
Yeah. So between the Inuit stories, between some evidence that was found, and just modern science, what we know about modern science, we can kind of piece together. So, like, what really happened then? Did they died of starvation?
They got stuck in the ice, got lost, and died of starvation.
And they got confused. And I'm sure it was freezing cold.
Mm-hmm. And there's some other things going on here. For instance, some evidence indicates that one of the ships may have been manned again.
Mm-hmm.
Because they found it and it wasn't where it's supposed to be.
Oh, interesting.
I think but the Inuit people said, no, that didn't happen. One person, he's since passed, Louis Kamugak. Louis was a researcher and an educator on the incident.
Okay.
And a lot of Inuits believe that ever since all these people died there,
mm-hmm.
their spirits won't go to rest until Franklin's body is found,
mm-hmm.
and laid to rest in proper burial. So that is the whole from 1845 to today of the Lost Franklin Expedition.
Well, they really were lost, weren't
they?
They
really were lost, yeah.
Poor guys. I just feel for them. I mean, you set out, you got such high hopes, and you hope everything's going to work out, and mm-hmm. that ended about as badly as it could possibly end. Poor guys. I feel for them. I feel for the wife of the guy,
great
too,
woman.
Because, he just one day left, and she never got to see him again, and
a good representation of how this happened is the historical fiction novel by Don Simmons called The Terror. It has fiction in it, a mm-hmm. lot of fiction. There's even some supernatural stuff going on. But it's a really good representation of what happened to these guys. Mm-hmm. So we're going to end the podcast.
Okay.
And thank you guys for listening.
Yes,
every time
thank
you listen,
you.
You make me happy.
Very happy.
Very happy.
Because history's so awesome.
We don't know what we're going to cover next week because we have some interview questions up in the air. Hopefully I can get some experts on the show. So I want to thank you guys again, and I want to thank you for joining me, my trusty co-host.
Always.
And remember, if it wasn't for history, you wouldn't be here.